Prophecy is not standing still. This is Prophecy in Motion, the week ahead, where world events meet the unshakable truth of God's Word. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome again to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton, or what's Howdy. Left of him there in New York City. Yeah, you'll have to explain what I just said there in a minute, David. But
I guess.
Anyway, we really thank you guys for joining us today. We got a good show for you, and I'll be showing you those exactly what we are going to be talking about after David prays us into this episode. But he does need to explain what I was talking about by his what's left of him. Go ahead there, David.
Yeah, we had a blast this weekend. First of all, took out our granddaughter, and well, it was my daughter's birthday, but the granddaughter was the one that caused all the pain and suffering, if you will, but in a joyful way. It just wore me out. But then I went to the banana ball game. You guys have, I don't know if you ever heard of banana ball, but it's a riot. It's like baseball, but it's just fun. And they have, they got all sorts of different rules, and it's very entertaining, and they just do a lot of crazy things. And, you know, the tickets are sold out a year and a half in advance. They sell out every single game, no matter what stadium they go to.
It's crazy.
You know, even football stadiums, I think their highest was like 80,000. But whatever it is, they just sell it out.
That's crazy.
You watch a baseball game. It's crazy. You know, so they sold out Yankee Stadium here two days in a row. So yeah, I figured the only way to get in is I work there. So I volunteered to sell merchandise. But I got in and I got to meet some people. Got to meet the owner. Got to meet some of the mananas. I don't know if you ever saw the dad bod cheerleading squad. Yeah, it's not a pretty picture, but they're funny.
Yeah. All right, well, David, why don't you go ahead and pray us into this episode, and then I'll show everybody what we're gonna do.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Father, we thank you for opportunities to release some tension here and there and have some fun, even this world of craziness. Father, we ask for wisdom and insight as to what you would have us to say and where you would have us to go. And we ask that more specifically, this would be seeds planted in people that they may receive you and then have bear eternal fruit unto salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a look at it, David. Should be a pretty good show. We are going to talk about the weekend news and prophetic parallels here. Also, the spirit of rebellion in today's world. Then the week ahead and what prophecy we may see unfolding. And then our hope in the midst of all this motion here, because there is one heck of a lot going on in the world today. Starting here with the weekend news and prophetic parallels, the events of this past weekend once again remind us that prophecy is not a distant mystery. Instead, it is in motion right now. Israel, the apple of God's eye, came under fresh rocket fire from Iran-backed proxies. These attacks are part of a larger spiritual and geopolitical struggle, setting the stage for Ezekiel 38. We saw Iran strengthening its foothold in Lebanon and Syria, while Russia and Turkey continued to quietly maneuver in the background. Every headline inches the prophet clock closer to midnight. The global economic also trembled this weekend. Oil prices spiked, currencies fell, and markets reacted in panic. Revelation 18 paints a vivid picture of merchants weeping as the world system collapses in an instant. Today's economic elites boast in their control, but Scripture assures us their empire will fall as swiftly as it rises. Politically, leaders are not speaking of national sovereignty, but of multinational solutions, from climate agreements to digital regulations. Just as Nimrod declared, "Let us make a name for ourselves," modern rulers seek unity apart from God. Daniel 7 foresaw 10 kings surrendering power to a single ruler, the Antichrist. This weekend proved once again that the world is marching toward that reality. Now the message is clear. Prophecy is in motion. The same spirit that built Babel is alive again, preparing the world for its final confrontation with the living God. What part of that you want to take on first, David? Because there's a lot in there.
Yeah, I want to. There's a few things, but there's all sorts. You know, we live in the conspiracy-centered world here, mm-hmm. especially with the internet. And I'm noticing a lot of things coming out about Charlie Kirk and the things yep. that have happened. And, you know, strange events happening surrounding it, like a book coming out the day before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to see if that's true.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I heard it was a letter or something. I hadn't heard the book
thing. No, there was some guy showed a book. Now, I can make a website that makes it look like it's an Amazon sale
in seconds.
Put a date on
yeah.
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a couple people were presenting it that on September 9th, a book came out about Charlie Kirk's assassination. Mm. And so I don't know how true that is. But the point is not whether it's true or not. The point is that if it is true, then it's a conspiracy theory and, mm-hmm. and some kind of psyop. And if it's not true, it's some kind of conspiracy theory and a psyop.
Right.
So the point is they are manipulating the data and putting it out there. So it's whichever side it lands on, being true or false, it is a psyop. Mm-hmm. To get people to either fall into the theory that it was all staged, or fall into the theory that it could never be staged. So mm-hmm. The point being, Satan throws enough doubt and confusion everywhere, so you never know what the truth is, so people just stop looking for the truth.
Yeah, well,
and that's what he's done from the beginning.
Just on that particular note there, mm-hmm. I know there's one radical racist, I guess I should mm-hmm. Clarify, is this Joy Behar.
Oi!
And a few, I don't know, it's been a week or two ago, she came up with this thing about she had doubts that there was any assassination attempt on Trump.
Okay, yeah,
that's how stupid she is. Okay, that's how radically stupid that she is. But anyway, the reason I'm bringing that up is because there were posts being made on social media that if anybody that saw the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and if you haven't seen it, please don't watch that. It's awful. But there were posts made that they were claiming, some of them, that this had to be AI due to the huge amount of blood that was coming out of his neck. Mm-hmm. Okay, they don't understand what that particular vein does. I mean, it's almost impossible to live once it's broken. And it was sickening to me, David, to hear these people say that they felt like this was fake. Here is a man, his widow, two small children. There's no way this thing is fake at all, but I would not be a bit surprised if some idiot like Joy Behar endorsed such lunacy. What do you think about that? Am I being too hard?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a shocking event. So to just be on the neutral side of everything, mm-hmm. like, you know, just a guy looking down on this whole scenario going on, it's written in a movie, I'm going to try and figure it out. Aside from my heart, because my heart really went out. This is like mm-hmm. the only time I ever cried for someone I didn't know.
Yeah.
So if I'm looking down at it, you're going to have people from both sides. They're going to mm-hmm. come and there's people that were there and they saw everything happen. And then there's people that say, well, the whole event was staged for one reason or another. And there's a whole myriad of different things that have come out to stage it. But again, staged or not staged, the point is they are either A, finding out the truth that it was, or B, creating another narrative in order to divide the people.
Yeah, I think that's the goal I really do. Again.
Yeah, I'm not. I wasn't there. I cannot judge whether it was or wasn't staged. Mm-hmm. As a guy looking outside from the book, mm-hmm. I can tell you what my my spirit feels, but that's not the intent of our show. Our show is to look at things from the outside and present both sides, so you can have an honest look at it. Correct. But that's what I surmise is that honest look is saying, we're going to divide the people, and if that works this way, then we'll do it, and if that works that way, we'll do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen numerous videos. I've watched a few of the mass exodus from the Democratic mm-hmm. Party because they say, okay, too far.
Oh, those are real.
Yeah, step too far.
I can tell you, I live here in New York. Everybody.
Step too far. Well, let me ask you this, though, David, about oil. Mm-hmm. This is one of the topics here in the first part of the show. And what Trump is saying is, look, we cannot cripple Russia if you guys keep buying oil from them, because that's what they do. That's, you know, that's their thing. That's how they build their economy, is on oil and gas. So don't buy from them. And yet you have countries like India, for instance, and even some NATO countries that are continuing to buy oil from Russia. And so now, and China is, of course, a big one as well. And so Trump is threatening some huge tariffs. As a matter of fact, on China, is he saying anywhere between 50 and 100%. So what do you think of that? I mean, do you believe that Russia can even be hurt at this point? And do you think that China really cares what kind of tariff we put on them? Because, you know, I think we buy more goods from them than they buy from us. Go ahead.
Yeah, they do, and they don't care. They just put it on top of everything. But the point is, there's a couple of points, actually. China will just reevaluate their currency like they did last time. Mm-hmm. That's why you could buy things for a dollar, because a dollar over there is a day's wage, let's say, you know? Mm-hmm. So to them, they don't care. Whatever, man. Just put whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And they've done that on purpose. They devalued their currency in thinking that was somehow going to hurt us, but it's not. It because it's all fiat anyway. It's just I can say, hey, listen, my house is 100 Monopoly dollars, and then but someone else comes along and says, well, our game is every Monopoly house is only going to be a dollar, but it just everything lines up with it. It's still the old adage is an ounce of gold will buy a good man's suit.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that tariffs even matter? Do they even matter?
They do. They do in this aspect. Now, instead of putting an income tax on all the people here, what you do is you put that tariff on foreign goods. So it'll do two things. It'll encourage people to buy more American stuff, obviously, and support our economy. But if they choose to buy something from somewhere else, therein lies the tax. So they can choose to pay that tax or not pay that tax.
Okay.
And then Thomas Jefferson did that. Remember Jay? Mm-hmm. TJ?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So he did that. And you know what he did when he did that?
What's that?
He completely eliminated the American debt.
Yeah, 100%.
Wiped it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100%. We were debt-free. Mm-hmm. Even the war debt. Everything was paid off because of tariffs. So people had the choice to buy the other things. And if they did, they paid the tariff. And then that's what paid everything off. So if we go back to that, it would completely eliminate any and all income tax. And it should really. I mean, I think Florida is going to get rid of property tax, too.
Texas has been battling with that. I'm hoping against hope that we do that. All right,
That was the only tax, tariffs.
Real quick, the Last Christian Radio Show is broadcasting truth to a world in desperate need of it. But here's the truth that you may not know. This broadcast exists because of you. We're 100% listener supported. We don't take government grants. We don't bow to advertisers. We rely on people like you, those who believe in what we're doing, those who want to see the truth preserved and boldly proclaimed. Now, there are two ways that you can stand with us right now. First, you can give to us directly, a one-time gift, a monthly commitment, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. It makes a difference. Just visit lastchristian.net and click partner with us. Every gift is fully tax deductible. Now, second, you can support us simply by shopping. Now, when you purchase from one of our trusted affiliates, a portion goes straight to support this ministry without costing you a penny more. So you can grab your morning boost with Everyday Dose Coffee, stock up on quality gear at the Conservative Store, fuel your body with Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, or dive deep into Scripture with resources from Christian Book. And now, you may even learn Biblical Hebrew and more through Israel Institute of Biblical Studies with discounts of up to 45% exclusively through the link on our site. Now, these brands we believe in, and they believe in us. So why not shop with a purpose? Go to lastchristian.net, click Partner with Us, and you'll find links to give directly or shop through our affiliates. Together, let's keep proclaiming the gospel, preparing the church, and standing for truth. All right, David, moving on here to the next topic of discussion today. We are seeing the spirit of rebellion in today's world. Now, this motion of prophecy is not only political but economic, but deeply spiritual. Babel was founded on rebellion against God, and today's global system is no different. Artificial intelligence and communication control are reversing the confusion of languages that God used to scatter man's rebellion. AI-driven translation and surveillance create the illusion of unity, but instead of glorifying the Lord, they empower global control. Revelation 13 warns of an image that speaks, commanding worship. With digital avatars, deepfake technology, and global platforms, we are closer than ever before to that chilling prophecy. The media also plays its part. Coverage of Israel this weekend was once again slanted, blaming the victim while excusing the terror. Just as Babel sought to use language to control the masses, today's media manipulates truth to unify people under lies. And religion's not exempt. Interfaith movements proclaim unity without Christ, peace without repentance, and salvation without the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 17 describes a harlot system, riding the beast, guiding nations into spiritual deception. This is all false unity. It's not new. It's repackaged for the end times. This week, we must see clearly the rebellion is real, but so is the victory through Christ. What do you want to take on there, David?
Oh, this should be fun. I think all these years, I mean, back in 1980, when I first met the Lord, always talking about how Antichrist is going to be, you know, thing. He's going to be the image of the beast. Everyone's like, it's a statue. The number of the beast is the, you know, the UPC code and all those things. I want to caution people. It goes all the way back to the printing press. Gutenberg invented the printing press, and people said that was Antichrist technology. Like, because now everybody can have all these books that they're not supposed to read. Mm. Yeah, but they can have the Bible too.
Yeah.
And it so that's cool. But now everything's in PDF. It's electronic. You don't even need the printed book. So the technology in itself isn't bad. But what we are noticing is the advent of the AI technology combined with holographic technology. Mm-hmm. It's going to create that. And it clearly says that the Antichrist will die and then appear to become alive again, because that's what the Messiah has to do. He's got to die and be resurrected. So that will say, oh, look, he was dead, but now he's alive. He must be the Messiah. And then it's going to deceive Israel for a little bit, until they figure out, maybe not. But that's what it is. Now imagine the pictures and movies that you see. I mean, we can make them all day long, and we're just, you know, guys on a computer at home. Right. Imagine what they can do with their regular, with their hyper computers, how good they can make it, and then how good they can make a hologram of that. You know, you see holograms today, and they got Michael Jackson coming back on stage and dancing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to do that so much better now, and that much more fits into the narrative. It'll say he'll appear to die and then appear to come back. And then Satan can just take control of that AI. So it appears like he's, but the actual Antichrist is going to die, and they're just going to pretend he's alive again. But that's going to be Satan, the second part of it. So we are that close, okay? But I think even more so, all of a sudden, I don't know if you know, last month or so, there are tremendous revivals breaking out in all these godless nations.
Yes.
Okay. New Zealand, all the people got together and they declared that New Zealand is a Christian nation. And that's it. No Muslims allowed. They're throwing them out and they're doing whatever that thing they do is. Which is actually really cool to watch. You should go watch it. I don't know what they call it, but they do this dance and it's like, that's pretty cool. But they declared a Christian nation. London, like a million people were there to declare the war.
They'd had a march in London too that our friend Mark Sutherland was a part of. I've seen that reported on. But David, you said something really interesting to me there about how it states that the Messiah must die and must come back to life, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, here's my question for you. Why didn't they do that when Christ died? And I've got to preface this a little bit on my non-understanding of exactly what I'm talking about here, because of the fact that when did that come into play? I mean, when was that known? Was that known to the Jews at the time, or did it come after, or what? Where was it exactly? I'm not sure.
They got Messiah ben David and Messiah ben Joseph. They didn't understand. They didn't grasp the concept of it's the same person, because they say, oh, he's going to come back and rule and reign. So how could he die? You know, but then there's other verses that said, oh, he must die.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't understand. Is it more attractive to them because it's something that can be seen over and over again, like the Kirk thing or Kennedy thing or whatever? Or does that play into it at all? I really don't know. I don't understand.
For the new people? I mean, for the Jews in general, they do believe in two different messiahs. Okay. One of them is going to take over and the other one's got to die for the people. They don't understand that it's one and the same. And it's, the second person of the Godhead, as we say.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's why all the disciples, when you read the entire New Testament, okay, you'll see a distinct period from the Gospels where they absolutely thought he was there to take over, Even Simon the Zealot, he's like going around.
I guess my question here is, do they think that he needs to take over and be in charge before he dies? Or does the timing matter? I think that's...
Oh, I guess, now that they know Jesus and that he died and rose from the grave, I mean, it's not like that's, absent from their minds at this point. Mm-hmm. Some of them will probably understand, okay, the Messiah has to come. And then, okay, here's the Messiah. He's going to take over. He's in the temple. Then all of a sudden he dies and he comes back. And it's like, oh, well, look, there's Messiah ben David. That's the one I think David is the one that rules and reigns. Ben Joseph is the one that dies. So they'll conflate the two. And they'll say, okay, well, he was the one that's going to come and take over, but he died, so... Okay, and then he'll come back, and I'll go, oh, it is him. He did both of them at the same time.
Yeah, right up until he declares himself to be God in the temple.
Yeah, yeah.
And ends their sacrifices and all that stuff. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Well, with the pigs and stuff, yeah, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, no, it won't be good at all. Also, I think we do need to touch on the fact that, yes, Israel is still coming under attack. And also that the United Nations says that they are now on the road to a new second state, a Palestinian state. It's irreversible. That was the language. They're on an irreversible path to that. Well, they're on an irreversible path to destruction and real soon if they want to pull that off, right?
Yep. If they try to. But I like Netanyahu. He takes his stand. He said there will not be any Palestine state.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
All right. Now, how about interfaith? Are you seeing more of this stuff? Because, you know, where I live, we don't have interfaith stuff. I mean, you know, you're either a Christian, believe in God, or you're not, period, the end, no discussion. You know, there's no synagogues around here. We definitely don't have any satanic temples around here. That wouldn't last 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But where you are, you know, there's a little bit of everything, you know. So I'm just wondering, do you see an increase in these interfaith movements or about the same or what?
You know, New York's always been, yeah, everybody can do their own thing and nobody cares about it, in a sense. You know, and I see even here, I go to neighborhoods and there's Jews and Muslims walking around together. And they're like, yeah, we don't play those games. And most of the Muslims here are not radical. They, you know, sadly, they have the incorrect religion. Both of them do. Yeah. But they're not fighting each other. And they have no interest in fighting each other. They basically live to, you know, with each other and say, okay, you do that and I do this. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's because most of them don't understand the ideology of it. Okay. You know, they're just, you're Muslim, like a Catholic. Oh, I was just born Catholic, and they don't really go. I was born in a, you know, Christian church, but I don't really go, so I just call myself a Christian. So most of them are kind of like that. So they just kind of do the things that they're taught to do, you know, say three Hail Marys, call me in the morning, or you know, maybe they shut everything down Friday at like 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And or the Muslims, you know, the Ramadan, you like, they're not eating, so the halal trucks aren't out there during Ramadan until sundown. Stuff like that.
Okay. Well, David, go ahead and take us out of the first half of the show, and then in the second half, again, we will be discussing the week ahead, the prophecy that is unfolding, and also the hope here in the midst of motion. So go ahead and take us out of the first half, David.
Oh, yes, it's going to be fun. Listen, the end is really close, folks. Whether it's now or the next Jubilee, which is, you know, in 50 years, we're in the Jubilee year. So this is the transition period from one age to the next. Jesus is coming and he's going to rule and reign. Exactly what that looks like, we don't know. But it was 70 years with Jesus. He was born and crucified at 33 or so, and in the temple at 70. So it's close. I would encourage you to receive the Lord. He paid off your sin debt, so you don't have to. And you never know if you might not make it till tomorrow. So just do that right quick, because it's not going to be pretty if you don't. Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies, to current-day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, Think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there, all the way from New York City. Mm-hmm. And David, just jumping right back into this, we're going to look at the week ahead and prophecy that is unfolding. As we're looking forward, the days ahead are loaded with prophetic weight. First of all, in the Middle East, Israel may be forced to respond decisively against Iranian proxies. Intelligence suggests new shipments of weapons for Hezbollah and militias in Iraq. If Israel strikes now, escalation could spiral quickly, drawing in nations that Ezekiel 38 identifies as part of the Great Northern Confederation. Now, on the global scale, or stage, I should say, the United Nations will gather this week for a summit. The world leaders will push climate compacts, economic treaties, and migration pacts. Though presented as humanitarian, these initiatives erode national sovereignty and consolidate global control. They are prophetic stepping stones to Daniel's vision of 10 kings who hand their authority to the Antichrist. Technology will also dominate headlines. Central banks are openly advancing digital currencies, while governments test digital IDs. These tools may seem convenient, but Revelation 13 warns of a day when no one can buy or sell without the mark of the beast. So the groundwork is being laid right now. Now, make no mistake, prophecy is unfolding before our eyes. Each event this week is another gear in motion, pushing the world toward the climax foretold in Scripture. So my first question to you, David, is what do you think of Israel? Do you think that if they respond again, because we've seen them respond to different things in the past, do you think it's going to have any different impact than it has previously? Responding to attacks upon them.
Right.
Yeah.
They expect attacks. Okay. Yes. My only thing is they are completely going against, I believe the UN voted and declared Palestine a state.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to say before my brain checked out. He's like, nah, that's not going to be one.
Well, I'm going to jump in on that one real quick because, Israel is going, they're really hitting them hard. But
yeah.
The point that I wanted to make is that people are saying, well, Palestine needs a state. Well, okay, in reality, and I've seen this posted, in reality, Gaza was a state. I mean, mm-hmm. Israel had given it to them. Hamas ran it. Look what happened. So if you want to know what a second state would look like, there it is, right there.
Yeah, they already tried that, and it just didn't work, and all they did was, attack again.
Right.
But we need to expect that. The prophecy basically goes, they're going to try, and every last country on the planet is going to come against Israel, mm-hmm. and Israel is going to survive through it, and then Jesus is going to rule from the throne of David in Jerusalem. So that's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. All this other stuff, Psalm 2 says God just sits up there and laughs at these people.
Yeah.
Because Israel is his portion, and he will be the God of all the nations. But Israel is his portion in the Council of Nations, if you would, mm-hmm. where everything was divided. So I'm not worried about it so much as just looking at, the worse it gets, that means the closer he is.
Amen.
And
yeah.
That's what I really look at. And it's exciting to me. People will obviously be hurt along the way because that's what it says. And even up to 2/3, it looks like, of the earth will be, destroyed and killed, and then the mountains will melt and all these things. But that's all going to be in the middle of the tribulation period.
Right.
So if you are in Christ before he comes, then you'll be part of the bride. Okay. If you accept Christ after the rapture, then you'll be part of what we term the tribulation saints. Mm-hmm. Now, rest assured, there will be, but I think the problem is people don't delineate the difference between the church now and the church that's going to be during the tribulation.
Yeah.
Just like they didn't with the Jews, because John the Baptist marked the end of the Jewish age, in that, you know, the people who believed from that point actually became Christians, whether they were Jewish or Gentile. So, and then it was until many years later that the temple was torn down. But those people who did believe actually became Christians. The entire church in the beginning was all Jews, actually.
Right.
So that's
because Jesus was a Jew, even though Muslims are trying to claim him now as if he was a Muslim.
Yeah, which made no sense.
What they say.
So, but just like, let me finish that up.
Go ahead.
Just like, you know, John the Baptist was the greatest man ever, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Well, obviously, it's a different set of people.
Right.
And folks don't realize that. They think, oh, it's just all one people. Oh, the Jews became the church and we took over for Israel. No, no, it's a different set of people. They're all just like crops. You can have one farmer who's got corn and wheat and barley and all a bunch of different crops. They're all part of his farm. They're all part of the kingdom. And we're all people saved by the blood of Jesus, but we have different roles, different positions, different beginnings, different endings, different missions, different destinations. And the church is destined to be the bride of Christ. And then the tribulation saints are a different group.
And now I'm assuming that all churches, and there will be churches from what you're saying here, there will be churches even during the tribulation period. But I'm assuming that all of those are underground churches. And of course, Revelation does not mention the church after what is it, Revelation 4 or 5? I can't remember.
Three. Starts in 4, doesn't mention until 19 again when we come back with Jesus.
Now on a talking about now the United Nations here, all these, you know, climate pacts and economic treaties and all this kind of crap, does this from what I could see, it added up to stepping stones to Daniel's vision of the ten kings. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're all stepping stones. The best scenario for the ten kings that I can see is not like the European Union or stuff like that, but literally 10 different sections of the world.
Okay,
because we could see how North America, you know, like if the United States, if we made Canada, we bought it and made it the 51st state, you know, but here's one group here. And so some are saying, oh, the Americas is going to be one section and Africa is going to be two. And then India, you know, that kind of a thing. It'll be a different group. So, yeah, I think that's good. But I think it's more about the people involved.
Okay.
So there'll be 10 different leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then and along those lines, and then there'll be, you know, 7 heads and 10 horns.
Yeah.
So again, prophecy is esoteric. You don't really know what it looks like until after it happens. So we're surmising on all those things, and there's a bunch of different interpretations of it.
Okay.
But it's not clear until it happens because we don't know. Just like, you know, 20 years ago, we would have no idea what this AI stuff is about or Bitcoin, you know? Hey, well, oh, yeah, it's all going to be Bitcoin. Yeah, no problem. We should have seen that. No, 20 years, it didn't exist, you know? 30 years, well, when did Facebook come out? It was, you know,
you kind of lead me into this now because, again, technology to dominate the headlines here, central banks openly advancing their digital currencies. Governments testing digital IDs. Nobody can buy or sell without the mark. I mean, that's where it's going, isn't it? I mean, there's complete consolidation there, right?
It is. That won't happen until halfway through the tribulation when the Antichrist dies and then appears to resurrect again, and then Satan takes over. At that point, it's going to be like, okay, you got to take this this mark, and it's not a mark that we just see like it's this or that or other. It's literally more like the Google tattoo, if you've ever seen
that. Yeah, we had a show on that not too long ago about this new thing that Gates came out with, which is a tattoo that basically controls your entire life. You know, it's in mm-hmm. every aspect of it, and it's supposed to be the replacement for the smartphone. Now, think about that one for a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, David, you got more than I do, but I mean, there are several smartphones here in this house. You know, so you multiply that over the world, and then all of a sudden, the smartphone is extinct, and now you've got to have this tattoo. Either mm-hmm. and it, I found it kind of ironic that when he posed for this thing, he posed it with his right arm.
Mm.
Okay, and I don't know if he knew the biblical significance of that, but it sure stood out to me.
Yeah, on your right hand or on your forehead. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would fit into the scenario for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, think about it. That technology we had even back in '80 when we started this, we had no idea of this. Not only that, the internet. Well, what do you mean the internet?
Internet, right?
Let alone Bitcoin, let alone, you know, cell phones. Mm-hmm. Oh, we could just walk around like Star Trek and talk to everybody. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. That's crazy. And so all this stuff is coming in to fruition now.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember, folks, it doesn't enforce any of it until the middle of the tribulation period.
Yeah.
So well, we as Christians who believe in the rapture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. Is the technology? Do you think? And you know, I'm asking you to speculate here, but mm-hmm. do you think that technology is going to be available before the 3.5 years?
It has to be, or else how are they going to implement it? What if I just all of a sudden came out one day and said, "Okay, we have the internet," and people are like, "Well, what's that?"
But not implemented.
Right. Okay. It's available. You got to understand. It's like. It's the technology itself isn't bad. It's just that the technology can be used. I make a hammer and I can spend 30 years building houses with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, one day someone picks it up and hits you in the head with it. Then it becomes that weapon.
Right.
Okay. That's the difference. So we've had this technology isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you do with the technology.
Okay.
And that's what's going to happen. But since it's already here, we're starting to be able to understand how he can do the things that he said he's going to do because we see the technologies coming forth. So, AI is the Antichrist, it's not. It's
I got to ask you this question. Ask you this question, though, David. Okay, on this tattoo thing, okay?
Uh-huh.
Gates says it's coming. So mm-hmm. let's say it's available next year. Just, you know, I'm hypothetical. Let's say it's available next year, but the mm-hmm. but we're still here. Nothing's happened yet. There's no mm-hmm. tribulation in place, but people can get this thing.
If they want.
And so they get that. That doesn't mean they've taken the mark, but it would be like, you know how your iPhone updates all the time?
So and all of a sudden you get an update.
Yeah, you would have to go in. Again,
and install all these games that you never wanted on your phone.
You'd have to go in again and get another. You'd have to update your tattoo.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So that would they'll be accepting
have updates,
it.
And then it'll be that one day. Right now, they're putting all the 5G towers, working on 6G. Mm-hmm. You got Starlink going up. All right. All these things are just slowly behind the scenes, setting the stage
mm-hmm.
for now. They can control you no matter where you are on the planet. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and then they flip it on one day, and then all of a sudden it controls your nervous system and your brainwave.
Well, like I said, I knew we were going down a major rat hole there with mm-hmm. speculation, so we'll stay away from that for a while. But anyway,
we can see how these prophecies can come to pass with the current iteration of technology.
Right. So our hope in the midst of all this motion. Is while the earth races toward chaos, believers must hold firm to the hope that prophecy provides. The same word that warns us of coming judgment also promises us eternal victory. Now, at Babel, God came down to scatter men's rebellion. At the end of the age, Christ will return to destroy the final system of rebellion. Revelation 19 promises that the beast, the false prophet, and all their armies will fall when the King of Kings comes on his white horse. At Pentecost, God gave us a preview of his true unity. people from every nation hearing the gospel in their own language by the power of the Spirit. That was a reversal of Babel, and Revelation 7:9 shows the final fulfillment. A great multitude from every nation, tribe, and tongue standing before the throne, clothed in white and proclaiming salvation through the Lamb. That's our destiny, not the tower of man, but the kingdom of God. Not unity in rebellion, but unity in redemption. Not fear of the beast, but joy in the coming king. So as prophecy moves forward this week, lift your eyes, watch, pray, and hold fast to the truth. For while the nations rage, the Lord still reigns, and our redemption draws near. Now, my question here, David, is with this, hang on here, I've got to find it exactly.
You got to find your question.
Yeah, it's right in front of me, but I can't. Okay, standing before the throne, clothed in white, and proclaiming salvation through the Lamb. Now, when is that exactly? At what point is that? Does that happen?
The you mean 7:9?
Revelation 7:9 shows the final fulfillment. A great multitude from every nation, tribe, and tongue standing before the throne, clothed in white, and proclaiming salvation through the Lamb. Does that happen? Well, you tell me. When does that happen exactly?
Do you remember the song? There I saw a great multitude from every race, every nation, and land.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Classic,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
All right. So it talks about here, and this is a supposition that some have made, mainly because of Hal Lindsey, who is a great prophecy teacher, but he started way back in the 60s. So he's got a lot of things that changed a bit along the way. That doesn't mean he was bad. It means he was trying to guess, like, Apache helicopters were the locusts and things like that.
Yeah, which I kind of believe that
it
for a while myself.
Locust. But I don't fault him for that. His expertise was in Romans, actually, and he was quite brilliant. And he was a college, kind of like Charlie Kirk was. He went around to colleges preaching, and Hal Lindsey, and that's why I admire the man tremendously, because he was willing to do that all through the 60s when it was, you know, peace, pot, micro dot. So Revelation 7, we see after these things, I saw four angels on the four corners of the earth holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. All right, so where are we? We're on the earth, right?
We are in heaven, right? We have already been raptured.
The church is in heaven.
Yeah.
But this vision is four angels on the four corners of the earth. Now, we know there's not four corners of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this must be the four quarters of the earth, because that word can be used for both.
Well, you got to, just for a second, you got to go back to the day that this was written, and I'm sure they hadn't figured out yet that the world was round.
No, they did. The Greeks knew that 500 years before this.
Okay.
And they measured it.
They
actually knew the circumference of a globe at that time as well.
Okay.
They were way smarter than us, trust me.
Okay. I'm with you. Okay.
They really were. You know, we think, oh, we're getting smarter and smarter. No, the world is much dumber than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just think about that. The guy invented calculus, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. They were way smarter. Okay. But it's gonia. And that can mean quarter or corner. So it's the four quarters of the earth, north, out, south, east, and west.
Basically. Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
But the idiom, that's not what the idiom means.
Okay.
The idiom is gleaning. Okay? When you see anything that says four corners, four winds, four stuff like this, they're talking about the gleaning harvest.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah.
Now, any harvest has three parts. There's the first fruits, the very first things to ripen and the best. They come off and they go as an offering to God. Those are the first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
You have the main harvest, okay? Like in Matthew 27:52, we had the first fruits of those who would be resurrected. When Jesus rose from the dead, there was a multitude that got raised with him. They were the first fruits. Hey, these are the first ones. These go to God. And they walked around Jerusalem for a while. Now, the main harvest is going to be the rapture.
Us. Yeah.
of the of this harvest, the church.
Right.
Now there will be Israel will have a different harvest. Okay, but the church church harvest, the main one is the rapture. And when we see stuff like this, it's the four corners of the earth. Okay. So they're standing on the four corners. So is this the four corners of the gleaning of Israel? Is it the gleaning of the church? But it's a gleaning terminology.
Okay.
In other words, this is the final harvest that we're talking about.
The remainder.
Yeah. Whatever's left, they go in the corners, they get it. Left now he's like, here standing on the four corners, and they're like, whoa, okay, the wind should not blow on the earth or the sea. And he's like, so he's holding off that final harvest. And then it talks into, oh, the 144,000 Jews. So that's what this leads me to believe, that the scenario we're in is the final harvest of the Jews, because we're in the Revelation, the 7-year tribulation period.
Right.
We're in that, but, oh, wait, hold off, hold the wind. We got some stuff to do.
Uh-huh.
All right. So here we are. We're holding the wind of that final gleaning harvest. And then he's like, I got to pick out some people. So he goes through and he says, the wedding is coming. Uh-huh. And you went to a wedding before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. Was everybody there, the bride?
No, absolutely not. There was just one.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So there's other people at a wedding beside the bride.
Right.
All right. And some of those people that are there are groomsmen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go around and they're working the wedding. All right, that was the job of the groomsmen back then. They were the ones that set everything up. They got to set up the tables. They got to go get all the decorations. They have to do everything. The groomsmen, that was what the party was for. Nowadays, right. It's a lot different. They just show up in a tux and, yay, I'm here. But they would have to follow the groom around and do whatever he said to do in order to prepare for the wedding.
Okay.
And they had to be young Jewish men, unmarried, and they had to be relatives.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know if anybody could have come to my wedding then. Okay.
Yeah, they got to be like cousins and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And that's where you got them from. It wasn't your friend you grew up with in high school. They had to be close relatives.
Okay.
So that's why they're Jews, because Jesus was a Jew. All right. That's why it says they were young, you know, unmarried men. You know, they were virgins and not defiled with women.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because if they were, even if they were unmarried, if they were, they weren't allowed to be part of the groom. So. Okay. And they followed Jesus around in chapter 14, and they sang a new song. So it looks to me like they're a type of a groomsman for the wedding that's coming.
Okay.
That's why I said, okay, don't do the gleaning yet. Here we are in the four corners. Don't do the gleaning yet. And hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of God in our forehead. So here we are. We're preparing for the wedding. He's holding off that final harvest of the Jews. And then we start there. And then he looked and he beheld a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, and stood before the throne, before the Lamb, in white robes and palms in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a different place then, because in the beginning of the chapter, it said he was on the earth, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
But now it's after this I beheld, and the great multitude was where?
Well, I mean, they've got to be, and again, it's got to be in heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So they're in heaven, and they're before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands. Sounds like they're getting ready for a big party of some kind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so you got to really look at this, because now Hal came out and said, oh, these 144,000, they were witnesses on the earth and they went around. And that's why we see the multitude of nations. Well, that has nothing to do with any of this.
Who are the 144,000? I'm still confused about that part myself.
Yeah, it's specific numbers, but there's a reason for it's governmental. It's a bunch of different things. And, it, you know, the 12 tribes have governmental stuff going on, but that's a whole nother topic.
Okay.
If we ever get to Revelation in this life,
we'll talk
about that.
Right now, we're in Genesis, I think 12 maybe. In our
so who
weekly,
knows?
In,
maybe we'll just switch one day. or I'll just move Revelation to the beginning of the book.
Yeah. Well, we may have to with the way the world events are coming together.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hurry up, get to the end. So a great multitude. So this is a different setting, mm-hmm. because they're before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palms in their hand, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sits upon a throne and upon a lamb, and all the angels stood around the throne. So they're not angels, because it says how many angels stood around the throne?
I don't
know. All of them.
All of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So all of them stood around the throne. So these aren't angels. These are people. And angels stood around the elders. So the elders are not angels either.
I was misunderstanding you when you said how many. I thought you were talking about angels. And I was like, oh, I don't know how many angels stood around the throne. Okay, yeah. But
more than eight.
I totally messed up that one. Okay.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, it says all the angels. So that means these people are not angels and the elders are not angels, because all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four beasts. So all the angels are around the elders, the four living creatures, and the throne. Mm-hmm. There you go.
There you go.
So the elders are not angels.
Okay.
And worship, saying, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever. So blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. That's seven. Interesting that is. Be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered me. Well, what do you mean he answered? You ask a question? What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? So the angel comes up to him, says, hey, you know who these people are? You know where they came from? And he's like, you know, get out of here. Yeah. You know. John's like, you know. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. So the great multitude is before the throne. Okay. They're preparing for the wedding. They came out of tribulation, and these also had their clothes made white by the blood of the Lamb. So I'm wondering, like, you know, they will rule and reign. So what part of that, you know, are they part of the bride?
Yeah.
Will they rule and reign in a different capacity? Are
That's a good question.
Are they the maybe the bridesmaids? You know, that kind of a thing? Yeah.
It's
interesting to see that, whereas clearly the church is delineated from these folks because the elders are already in heaven.
Right.
But they have similar roles, and they will rule and reign. Their clothes are made white by the blood of the Lamb. And it says at the end of the book, it says they'll rule and reign with Christ as well. Yeah. So I'm wondering if it's the gleaning of the rapture harvest. Hey, these people, they are Christians, but they're the gleaning part.
Yeah.
That's what I believe the tribulation saints are, the gleaning of that. So there's the gleaning of Israel that we see, and then the hold off, don't, and then the gleaning of the church we see right after that. Yeah. That's my take.
I always thought it was Israel, 100%. And you've opened up an add-on, I guess, is the best way to say it.
In the meantime, if we're still here for the next show, here's the deal. You got to go look that up yourself. Figure it out and then come back and then email us the answer. Lord willing, we'll see you guys on the next show. You guys have a blessed day. Bye.
Thank you for spending this hour with The Last Christian. If this broadcast strengthens your faith and cuts through the noise with biblical truth, please help us keep it on the air. Your support, large or small, makes a real difference. Give today at lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. We're back on the air every night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, with another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Set a reminder, tell a friend, and grow with us in God's Word as we stand with Israel, contend for truth, and point people to Jesus. Stay connected, pray for this ministry, and partner with us at lastchristian.net. From all of us here, thank you for listening and for standing with us. We'll meet you right back here tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, on www.revelationradio.net.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests, where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. Because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.